And I can't believe that we are still talking about it at this point in time in 2025. And it really is tragic. We've seen two more Indigenous men die in custody in recent weeks. So it's evident that the death in custody crisis is far from behind us. We had a Royal Commission, of course, in this in 1991, and it looked like things were going to change. But since then, 597 Indigenous people have died in custody, and 12 people this year alone. It's a very deep-seated issue, and despite significant amounts of pressure from the community, it hasn't been properly addressed. So what is going wrong? What has been implemented from the Royal Commission? What hasn't? What needs to change to nip this thing in the bud? Dr. Eddie Kabila is the Director of Indigenous Law and Justice Hub at Melbourne Law School, internationally recognised for his expertise in Indigenous governance and justice service delivery, and for his work as a lawyer in the Northern Territory. And I'm very pleased to say he joins us on the line. Thanks for making the time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. I mean, it's been a long time, three decades since the Royal Commission. In your view, why do we keep seeing these amounts of Aboriginal deaths in custody?
It's just not one thing alone. There's a few things. One, I suppose, we must remember that we're a country that was built on incarceration and, convicts and what have you. And we also must look from an Indigenous perspective, the fact that the Mabe case, highlights that this country was seated illegally and that we have a system, legal system in place that represents that. And basically it's set up to do what it's doing, and that's to incarcerate First Nations people. And nothing has really changed since that. And from someone who's recently lecturing in one of our most prestigious law schools,
yep,
the reality is we don't address that, that our legal system is built on shaky foundations, and that we need to discuss that issue in itself. But we're reluctant to do so. And basically, we reinforce those biases into the next generation of lawyers and judges and politicians, and it goes from there. So in that sense, it's a deep-seated issue, which is not being addressed at the current time. Secondly, obviously, media has an input into the public. And then basically, I think the major one is the lack of national leadership and accountability from state, territory, or federal governments. No one's really taken ownership of this, and the numbers are going through the roof. There's no binding mechanisms or independent bodies to track these progresses or enforce actions or ensure transparencies. And then governments continue to shift blame or delay action, often responding only after public outcry. And I mean, that goes on and on. And we currently have a close the gap with justice targets, which state and federal, state and territory governments sign up to, with full intentions of not actually addressing the issues.
Yep.
You know, we just seen that recently with Queensland and the Northern Territory, who have governments that have come in and basically gone tough on crime, and we've seen the outcomes, like as you mentioned in the start of this interview, that we've had two deaths in the Northern Territory within months of each other.
Yeah, and that was seldom reported on. Tell us about the story of Kamunji White.
As you said, it's not had been reported, but what I understand is that he was in aisle four in Coles or Woolworths, and basically he was, they were allegedly shoplifting, and basically he hadn't even left the shop yet, and they tackled him, and after the roughhouse tactics, he's unfortunately passed away. He was renowned to have some disability, and for those people that were apparently there, they tried to warn those people that he had some disability issues. And that's the result that we have. If we want to get legal, he hadn't even left the shop yet, so technically he hadn't actually stolen anything. So,
yeah,
we get into all sorts of issues once we get right into the facts.
Yeah. I want to go back to what you were saying before about the legal system and the foundations. Lot of the issue here is the overrepresentation of Indigenous people in prison in the first place. Do we need to shift away from the current legal system, in your view, from the common law and statutory codes that we have in various states, potentially customary law? Is that what you're advocating for some matters?
Well, listen, I mean, you've mentioned it, and I've mentioned it recently, that there's been these huge inquiries, whether it be Senate inquiries, state and territory inquiries into legal pluralism. There's been the Royal Commissions. There's been all these death and custody recommendations. So, you know, it's nothing new that the discussion is. But if we go back to the inception of the law in this country, we need to really have ownership that the law is on shaky grounds and that we need to sit down and work through. No one's saying that we need to get rid of the whole legal system, but we do actually need to have a look at why isn't it working. And, you know, I've got family living on country and, you know, predominantly a lot of them, you know, are practicing their law that they haven't changed from ever since non-Indigenous Australians rocked up. Mm. And so, you know, we can't get away from that fact. And we keep putting our heads into the sand and ignoring that Indigenous people are here and continually practicing their laws and cultures. We're going to have these conflicts of two laws, right? And I think unless we are readily wanting to accept that, we're going to constantly have these issues. And unfortunately, at this stage, we're going the opposite way with the actions of state and territory governments in regards to the criminal justice system.
Yeah. Going back to the Royal Commission now in 1991 into Aboriginal deaths in custody, 339 recommendations. How are we going on implementing them? And are there some that, in your view, need to be implemented more crucially than others?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's been a failure to implement them. Many of these recommendations, you know, such as establishing non-custodial treatment facilities, and enhancing police accountability, you know, not police investigating the police when they make mistakes, right? They all remain unimplemented. And like, there's been so many recommendations around bail and sentencing where we can reduce those as well. We've gone away from that, and then we've reinstated them because of tough on crime. We've also called for a comprehensive audit and the creation of independent Indigenous-led body to oversee these implementations, but they've not been acted upon. So, you know, those continue to go. And as you said, 339 recommendations, that looks across the whole plethora of issues facing Indigenous Australians, not just in the justice space. So you can't look at it just on its own. You have to look at it across the whole issues that are facing Indigenous people that basically push them towards being captured by the justice system.
Yeah. Professor Kabila, thank you so much for making the time this morning and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thanks for shedding some light on this contentious issue.
No worries at all. Thanks very much. That's Professor Eddie Kabila, Senior Fellow Indigenous Programs and the Law School there at the University of Melbourne.